right, let's come back together. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Talon, happy birthday. I know it was yesterday, but happy birthday. All right, I have a... Becca's going to sing for him? He left. He booked. He ran. It was Austin's birthday yesterday, too, so... just for Talon, okay. Ben, are you working on that, or are you good? Okay. I just want to quickly announce something and bring maybe a little bit of clarity, a little bit of help to what's about to take place. So Tuesday, we are voting, right? All of you that are watching online, you're going to go vote, that you can vote as well. It is important to vote, but I want to bring a little bit of clarity. I'm going to point out and tell you who to vote for, and I'm kidding. Yeah, I could too. So it could be a little bit confusing, and I kind of feel like that's a little bit of the intention of some of this. But we are voting for the primaries for November, and we're also voting the special election ranked vote. And so the difference, just if you're as thick as me sometimes, the ranked choice vote we're getting ready to vote for, which is the next page. Can you go to, yep, right here. This one right here is just for the interim, the short period of time to fill Don Young's seat until the November actual election. So all this ranked choice vote is for, well, I don't want to say all, but specifically what it's for is to go from now till November. So you need to pick a couple of people. Listen. Should I not say that? I don't care. No, you can pick just one, but I want to encourage you not to do that. And here's why. You can do whatever you want. Listen, I'm not telling anybody what they can and can't do, but here's why it's important. I want to be really careful how I word this, I think. If you vote for only one, and the person you vote for doesn't get the minimum percentage, which I believe is 50%. If they don't get that 50%, then let's say you were voting for Sarah Palin, and you didn't choose also Nick Begich as number two. She will only get whatever vote, like if she doesn't win, she will only get your single vote. If she gets more than Nick Begich, she will actually get all of his as well, and it would then possibly push, or vice versa, if you voted for Nick Begich, and, huh? No, I was going to get there. Well, nobody's going to get her, she doesn't get any other votes. What's that? No, I know that. I know. It's based on how you vote, the percentages, and if you don't rank your vote, you do not have to do three, but I think it's important to do two. If you want to do three, do three, but otherwise it could push a single person into a position of winning without actually getting the vote. This is why it's super confusing, super goofy. I don't know why we voted this in, but it's there, so we got to deal with it now, for right now. So what's going to take place? That's for just the special election. The first page, let's go back to the first one. This is to vote to put whoever's going to be the four choices for rank voting for November. So you'll see that the same names are on the U.S. representative, Sarah Palin, Nick Begich, Mary, all the different ones. So don't go, oh, I already voted that, I'm not. You have to still vote, but you only choose one of those. So I know, again, it's a little bit confusing, but, and then, so each one of these is just a singular vote. You vote for one of them, and then in November they'll do the ranked choice on whoever the four top people are on those. This is the messed up system we have right now, but it could be confusing because it's all on one ballot. It's a front page and back page, so it could look like, oh, I already did that, or why do I need to do this when I did that? So hopefully that didn't confuse you more than help you. But I think it's important. I had to ask questions myself and go, I don't even know exactly what I'm voting here. I don't understand all of this. Still don't fully understand it. I just know it is important in the ranked choice that you know how to vote, because it could really throw things in a tailspin. So, right, Wes? Yeah. Wes knows firsthand. This is a lot of what happened in California back years ago and how things ended up shifting in a really negative way. So, and if you're for ranked choice voting, there will be a healing line. No, I'm kidding. I'm only playing. If you're for it, I'm not trying to be offensive. I just don't understand the full... I think it leaves a lot of room for a lot of things to shift and take place that you're not actually wanting to shift and take place. And I think we were kind of fed something like, this was really good for Alaska. And people went, oh, okay. Well, if it's good for us, then, and we voted on it. And so I don't see anybody getting up and being offended with me. So I think I'm okay right now. Yeah, so it will be voted on again, but it can't be voted on for, I think, 2 years. So, okay, so I'm going to do some. I want to preach. I've been wanting to preach since the service started. There's, like, so many things shuffling through my head. But before I do that, I have asked Josh and Brandy to come and share with us. They have a pretty major life-changing situation happening, and I wanted them to be able to publicly share what's happening and why and how, so that, first of all, to kill any, like, rumors or thoughts or, like, oh, did they get offended and leave? Did they, you know... whatever, but the Lord opened the door for them, and I want them to be able to share that with you. I want us to be able to join with them. Just really quick, so everybody knows, I will follow up what they say to give us a little bit more direction. So anyway, if I can have you guys come and just share what's happening in your life, that'd be great. Also, I guess all their kids' lives, too.
Hi. Thanks, Pastor Zach, for giving us the opportunity. I'll just tell you a story. When we left the Philippines on our way to Alaska, through a series of unfortunate events, we had some really hard things that happened with family, and we actually ended up going to visit some friends, just kind of out of the blue, and we were in South Carolina and went to visit our friends in Tennessee. These are guys who are missionaries with us in the Philippines, not directly with us, but they're on a different island. And we went to visit them, and we got to hang out with them. We were just going for a random visit, but we ended up staying for a couple weeks. and just being a part, they're a part of a church plant there that is really incredible. And we felt really this strong draw there. And ever since we've been here, it's kind of been in the back of our mind. The Lord wouldn't let us kind of let go of it. We've been thinking about it, praying about it, just like, what is this, Lord? What are you doing? And on Sunday, July 31st, we were talking before church. We were talking about, you know, I just feel like we're supposed to go there, but we don't know when or how or what it's going to look like. And the Lord told me during worship to look up this website for their church. They're having a ministry school there that they're doing. And I was like, okay. So I looked up the website, and it was popped up and said application deadline July 31st, which it was July 31st. And so I was like, okay, Lord, why are you telling me this? There's got to be something here. So what it is, it's a church planting school, and they accept five families per year, and they take those families and they train them and equip them and mentor them. And then hopefully the goal is to be sent out to plant a church. Their heart is really to see, they've seen the decline in churches in America and in other places, and they want to come alongside people to support them and send them out as planting churches. And so we did have, for those of you who don't know, we did have a church in the Philippines for 5 years, so it's not something we haven't done, but it's something that we feel like they have a piece that we need, that there's something that they carry that we need. And so we've just been feeling like the Lord's been putting it in our hearts, and now it's all happening so fast. So the school starts September. Yeah, so they want us to be there at the beginning of September to be ready to go for school. So we're overwhelmed, we're excited, we're freaked out, we're taking a leap of faith and trusting that the Lord's going to see us through this and provide for us every step of the way. And so we just wanted to say, you know, to you guys, you're our family. You know, when we came from the Philippines, we were hurting, we were broken, we were not in a good place, and we were burnt out. And you guys gave us a home, you gave us a family, and you guys have shown us so much love. Words can't even express. You know, you guys have served and you've loved so well. And we're truly honored and we're truly thankful. And we believe that Alaska is and always will be a home for us. We have roots here, and we feel like the Lord said, you know, we want to build relationships. In fact, God told Brandy to build relationships like you're going to be here for 20 years. Now you're leaving. But no, we, regardless of where we're at or where we're going, we feel very strongly the Lord has said that we're supposed to be in relationship with you guys, with this house, with this body. And so whether we're here or there or anywhere, we love you guys, and we feel like you're family. Yeah, I'll let you talk for a minute.
1 minute? You timing me? Okay. I just, when we're going through process, I was just like, there's no words to say how grateful I am to have been able to come here. Like Josh said, like we came off the field just so tired and needing rest and coverage. And you guys came, you know, you came in, you clothed us. You gave us food. You gave us a place, a safe place to just rest. And you never know how grateful we are. You just don't know. And I can't give back enough to say how thankful I am. So, please hear, because I can't return what you've done for me. I can say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And like he said, this is our home. You're our family. And when I was just thinking of the scripture that came to mind, I wanted to just share with you is Matthew 25. When Jesus is like, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And the people are like, we did? When did we do that? And he's like, when you did that to the people, you did that to me. So what you guys have done for us is been this beautiful fragrance to God. And he is like, you did that for me. So I just want to bless you and say how much I love you and how thankful I am for you. And, yep. So thank you.
Yeah, and the verse that he showed me was Luke 6:35. This is from the Amplified. It says that love that is unselfishly seeking the best or higher good for your enemies, and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, for your reward will be great, rich, and abundant, and you'll be sons of the Most High. And I feel like you guys have done that. You've loved without expecting anything in return, and it's been beautiful and it's been glorious. So, yeah, very humbling. So as we are on this next chapter, we've given up trying to say what's next, because our plan was to come to Alaska for a year, and here we are over 2 years later, so thank you, COVID, and all that fun stuff. So we plan to come back to Alaska, but we hold to that loosely. I love last week Annie was talking about saying yes and following and giving him our yes, and I'll follow you wherever you go. You know, we used to joke in youth church when we would sing, you know, Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the ends of the earth. It's like, do we really? Yeah, we sing it, but we don't really believe it sometimes. We don't really act on it. So when he says go, you know, it's part of the struggle and the challenge of the life of a missionary. You know, our heart's in the Philippines, our heart's in Alaska, and we feel like the Lord's calling us to Tennessee for another piece of the puzzle that we need, and we're just so thankful to be a part of what God's doing here. And I want to honor just Zach and Sage. You know, you guys have given. And Jody, Eileen, thank you so much. You guys have such incredible leaders here. And you have such incredible family that's willing to lay their life down for their friends. And there's no greater love than that. So, yeah. We need your prayers. We need your connection. We need your support in every way. We've got a house on wheels that the Lord opened up a door for us to take down. So we'll be driving down. So we need mechanics. We need people who know. Make sure we can hopefully make it there. You can connect with us on Facebook. We have our Love International website. If you need our contact info, it's on there. The school is called Pathfinder Institute, and the church is the Altar Fellowship. It's in Johnson City, Tennessee. And, Oh, and lastly, it's like there's one more thing. During worship, I just felt like I had a word for you, for our house here. And I feel like the Lord says that, you know, there's been a season that you guys have been in, a season of plowing and sowing. And I feel like the Lord's saying that the season of harvest is coming, the season of receiving is coming, and he's saying that there's a blessing that comes. The Bible says that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and I feel like as a house, you guys have been plowing and pressing in for things, and the reward is him. He's the reward that we get, and I feel like just there's such a beautiful just sweetness in worship, whether you have a full band or not, it doesn't matter, that the Lord is rewarding you with your faithfulness of sowing and plowing, and that the season of sowing and plowing is coming to an end. The season of harvest and reaping the reward is coming. It's like when you plant a garden, you don't just keep planting and planting and planting and planting. You know, there's a season where you plant and you sow, and it's difficult, and you pull weeds up, but then there's a time where you just get to sit back and eat the fruit and enjoy the harvest. So I feel like you guys are coming into that season, so bless you guys.
Just so everybody knows, next week is actually their last week of being here before they leave. So next week we'll actually bring them down, ask everybody to come down. We'll pray over them, bless them, and just partner with them in this journey. So whether they end up, the Lord releases them in 9-10 months to come back here or not, I would love to see that happen, but I want to see more than anything God's plan fulfilled, not mine, not theirs, not, you know, like what does God want to do? And if that looks like something vastly different than what we try to plan out or try to think of, then so be it. But, and if it looks like the journey leads them back here, great. Whatever the Lord wants to do. But again, next week we will be praying over them. Last thing before I start, because I forgot this. Out in the foyer, there is a sign-up sheet, half an hour increments for voting. We wanted to do a 24-hour targeted prayer. I made some prayer points, and so you can sign up. You don't have to. I'd like you to. You don't have to cordially sign up. You don't have to sign up for half hour. You can sign up for 10 hours. I don't care how long you want to do it. I just want to see that it's covered and make sure that we're hitting this in prayer. It's super important. I think we're in a crucial time like we always are. But I really feel like there's a lot hanging in the balance here. And so I don't take that lightly, and I know you don't either. So at the end of service in the foyer, don't forget to sign up, grab some prayer points. If the stack runs out, there's not a ton of them there, let me know, or let Sage or Steve or someone know, Jody, and they can make copies of more. So you receive that? Okay. So let's pray, and I want to jump in this word. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your life. Thank you, Lord, that you are true, and you bring light, illumination to the things that are spoken. And so, Father, I pray that you would illuminate, anoint, and bring life to the words that come forth from my mouth. I pray that they would come from your throne to my heart, out of my mouth, and onto the ears of listeners who are ready, willing, and able to receive all that you want to do, all that you want to say, all that you want to change and ignite. And Father, I pray for, I pray against the spirit of lethargy and being tired or being frustrated or being I don't know, wearisome is what I'm hearing. Come against that, and I say spring to life in Jesus' name. Ears, you open up. Heart, you receive in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody do this before we get started. Stand up. Stretch a little bit. I just don't, yeah, I feel like there's this spirit of tired, like, and so, yeah, I'm not okay with that. You can sit down whenever you're ready. I just am like, no, in Jesus' name, not going to have it. I'm going to break some more lies this morning. Yeah, I am enjoying just like letting this knot be untied and unfold truth. As I turn my ear to hear what the Lord is saying, I'm challenged in the core of my beliefs, the core of my thinking, in a good way. I like to say things that the Lord is revealing to me are not because I had things necessarily wrong or bad, or that some things were wrong, to be completely honest. But some things were just immature, and I believe them to be mature, and the Lord unfolds the next piece, and it makes you feel like, oh my gosh, I had that wrong, or I saw that wrong, or I thought that wrong, or whatever. And, you know, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so as long as I am founded in Him and truth and revelation comes, there's not condemnation in it. It's actually a freeing thing that allows me to step further into this radical relationship with Him that brings me to a place of being able to be the son that He desires me to be. Can I tell you this? Here's the truth you need to grab a hold of. I don't know why I ask you if I can tell you, because you just have to listen. No. Sorry, I have to tell a story real quick, because that's just what I do. But I had somebody one time, I told people to do something, like I told you to stand up, but I told people to do something else, and this guy, he crosses his arms, real animated. Anyway, just, I'm like, what are we, three? Like, and none of you could see it, but I'm looking right at, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, man, really? So then I made people do jumping. No, I didn't really. I wanted to. I was like, nah, let's twirl. But I just thought of that because our flesh sometimes is like, don't tell me what to do. I want to twirl what to do. So oftentimes we start our Christianity in this place of unknowingly allowing thoughts to come in about God that are not true. And we would never speak them as if it's what we believe, but it stays in here somehow and mixes with actual truth, and then we struggle with things. I'll give you one. When Adam and Eve made the decision they made in Genesis to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, did it in any way change the nature of who our God is? The answer is no. Some people are like, I'm not going to answer that, because you're going to be like, ha, it did. But no, it didn't. We do know that it changed the nature of man, right? It's okay, yeah. But somehow, I'll share with you how this affects us and why I'm saying this. Somehow we get this idea in the core of our being, not up here like, this is what I think, but it gets mixed in, is God suddenly became mean somehow. Like, before, he walked in the cool of the day with Adam, they had a great relationship. Next, he's like, you're dead. Right? Like, you disappointed me. I'm kicking you out of the garden. I'm putting an angel in front of the tree. You can't touch it because you can't handle it. You screwed everything up. Now I've got to write a broken law so everybody can have rules and regulations. Now I got, and it's like, that's how we end up reading the Bible, especially the Old Testament. This is why people avoid the Old Testament. I don't want to hear about the law. I don't want to hear about, these things, that's all old. I don't live under the law. I live under grace. As if, two things, as if man making the decision to partake of something he wasn't supposed to partake changed the nature of God, and then Christ doing what he did rechanged the nature of God. Therefore, we don't need parts of the Bible. We need other parts of the Bible. We don't need the law. We need grace. And we mix all this stuff together, and then something happens in our life where we need to be able to stand on truth because there's something negative, bad, difficult, whatever, that happens in our life, or we're faced with a really ugly situation, and we believe something about the nature of God that is not true. And then we think we see proof. We say things like this: if God was good, then why? If God really cared about all 8 billion people at one time, then why? You have to fill in the blank. I can't fill it in. But we begin to question the nature of God as if he's fickle or he changes or the slightest thing might, like, listen, if we believe that the partaking of some sort of fruit, I don't like calling it an apple because I don't think it was an apple. He said tomato. Yeah, and there's reasons why he believes that, and I think they're legitimate. But anyway, whatever the fruit was, because man partook of it, if it somehow changed God to become a little meaner, then how do my decisions affect the nature of God? Again, we don't speak these things. We don't run around and go, man, I messed up and I did this and now I changed God. But if at the core of our beliefs, we believe decisions we make change God's demeanor, his attitude, his nature, his forgiveness, his anger, if we believe on any level, then first of all, you have to ask yourself this question. Who's actually God? If I can change God, who's God? I know that's a bit of a strong question, but think about it just for a minute. If I can change someone else then I have actually usurped power over them that made them change either what they believed, what they think, how they acted, how they responded, how angry they got, yada, 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 yada. You cannot change the nature of God. He is who he is. This is why Jesus, I know there's way more to it than what I'm about to tell you. This is why Jesus said things like this. I am who I am. I've always been. Always will be. I never change. Right? Hebrews. He's the same yesterday, today. Oh, same. In other words, you are not big enough. You don't wear a big enough set of jeans, right, to change the nature of God. God wasn't caught off guard by what Adam did. God wasn't like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? None of those things. Okay. So, this is where it gets fun. If that's true, and I believe it is, you may not, but I do. Then why is it? Or let me rephrase that question. That's not a good way to phrase it. If God is God and he never changes, and what he says is truth and it's established and it carries through time, then if God is our Father, then decisions that I make, choices that I make, whatever you want to throw in there, does not, cannot, and will not change the fact that he is our Father, right? I know I'm saying a bit and trying to wrap your head around it. We believe, we teach people this, to get saved or say a prayer of salvation or encountering Jesus in your heart makes God your Father. I don't believe this anymore to this degree. I love it when I see people go, this degree. I believe that it is not God who changes. It is my faith coming alive, recognizing something that always was. You catching that? So when I'm established as a son or a daughter, I'm not a son or a daughter. When I'm established as a son, and you're established as a son or a daughter, when you're established as that, it's not because God changed his mind and went, you're now welcome into the sonship or the daughtership or whatever you want to throw out there, terminology. It's not a changing of him. It is an awakening by faith of what has always been. we struggle with this, and I'll tell you why I know we struggle with this. Because we have, first of all, made these super dividing lines between those who are and those who are not. And I'm not ignorant of the reasons why. I'm not ignorant of the Bible. I'm just saying, I think the Lord wants us to shift. We used to have a saying back years ago where, like, when we were doing evangelism, we were just going after those who were pre-saved. Those who were already called, already, I mean, from the foundations of the world. My Bible says, for God so loved the world, right? The world, the whole world, the cosmos, all of it. He loved everyone that he did. What makes me any more special than anyone else in regard to him being my father? What makes anything any different is faith brought to life something that was always in existence that made me recognize he is who he says he is. I didn't change his nature. I didn't change his decision about me. I didn't make him love me. I didn't make him go, wow, never noticed you before. Welcome aboard, son. Right? Are we catching this? All right. In let's go here before I go to that one. Joshua chapter 5. This is kind of interesting. They're getting ready. Joshua's now advanced in years. They're getting ready to partake of the promised land, right? So Joshua chapter 5, I really need to turn there so I can be on board with you. Okay. I don't want to read about circumcision, so I'm gonna skip
some of that, y'all.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, okay. I'm gonna start in verse 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people who were men of war, who came out of Egypt, so all the people that were of age to be fighting men, so all the men that were of age to be men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed. They died because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their son, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they... Verse 8. So it was, when they had finished all the bad stuff, all the people that they... that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. So for a few days. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of this place is called Gilgal to this day. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal. I need to be able to read it up there. This is breaking my neck. Children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover. Listen, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna
cease.
That was the verse I wanted to get to. Hear what I'm about to tell you. 40 years of knowing nothing else. I recognize they got meat, but I want you to understand this. They're walking. This is around Exodus 16-ish. Don't turn there because I might be wrong, but it's somewhere right in there. The people are brought out. You've got somewhere between 1 and 5 million people brought out of Egypt. They get to this place. The water's bitter, right? They've been walking 3 days. They haven't had water in 3 days to get to this place. Water's bitter. Moses sees a tree. So Moses takes the tree. It doesn't say how big the tree is, but he chucks it in the water. Water becomes sweet. They begin to be fed with this thing called, what is it? That's right. Manna. What is it? I don't know. Put it in your mouth and eat it. Oh, that tastes good. Manna was a weird animal, though. It wasn't an animal. It was bread. But it was weird in that you could only collect what you could eat for the day. If you collected more than you could eat for the day, anything you kept in the morning, it said it stunk and it was full of worms. Except you weren't allowed to do any work on Sabbath. So the night before, the day before Sabbath, you collected enough for 2 days, and that didn't rot or stink. It was totally fine the next day. So this manna is heaven sent, God's plan, infused, miraculous, amazing, awesome. They've known this 40 years. 40 years. Now, I've heard stories. These are not from people who ate manna. But I've heard stories of people who said that it was possible, or maybe these were traditions passed down, I don't know, that manna tasted like whatever you could dream of. Like, you know, I don't know what somebody's favorite food might be, but let's say today I want steak. And so it tastes, you know, today I'd like chocolate ice cream. I don't know. Whatever it might be. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. It makes a good story. But, right? All my point in saying it is this. It carried in it a miraculous power from God to do what nothing else could. To respond and act on the plans and the purposes of God that He purposed it to do. For 40 years, this is what they knew. I keep stressing this because I want you to understand this. One day, they partake of the promise and manna is gone. What do you think that looks like? Hey, where's the manna? I kind of like manna. God has brought me manna for my whole life. Right? I don't know if I can live without manna. This is how God works. This is how God shows Himself to me. This is how God provides. I mean, don't get me wrong. This new stuff is awesome, but I got to go work for it. I got to go pick it. I don't just walk out of my tent and, all right, manna for the day. I've got to, like, sweat and work. And I mean, it's amazing. It's good. It's different than anything I've ever had. But I don't know that, like, I'm ready for this kind of move of God. I like how God moved over here. I'm not talking about manna anymore. So God, let's go back just a little bit further than that. before they received manna, they received cloud by day, fire by night. Right? This is how God leads me. This is how God tells me where to go. What do you mean there's no more cloud? What do you mean there's no more pillar of fire? How am I going to know where to go? How am I going to know when to go? Right? Because that was another thing. They would stop, set up camp, check every day. Still here. We're good. Oh, it moved. Pack up. This is how God speaks to me. This is what God does. We get to the promised land. Manna stops. I don't understand. What am I supposed to do? So, this is the word the Lord shared with me this morning that I felt almost a cautionary, I don't know, you'll have to judge this when I share this. There are things in our lives that God uses to thrust us into, I wouldn't even say, I don't like the term season, but it's the word that comes to mind. Maybe territories, places, seasons, whatever you want to say. There are things that propel us in, and when the fuel of those thrusters, or whatever you want to call it, is dispensed or done with, we have a choice to either punch them off, like I always think about a button, you know, how else do you say it? Eject them off you, get rid of them. What's that? Jettison them off. Right. So you can either do that and allow yourself to move into a new thing, or you can carry around a heavy weight. You can still move forward, but you're suddenly now carrying something that you were not intended to carry into a new thing. So, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Can you put that up there? And do you have the New American Standard? What's that? Yeah, can you put it in New American Standard, 1995 version? I like the 1995 version. Hebrews 12:1. Talks about a great cloud of witnesses. We know this. Yes. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every... This is the whole reason I wanted the New King... Or the every encumbrance. The New King James says every weight. Which, it actually is the same word. But I like the word encumbrance. We focus on the sin. And the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We focus a whole lot on sin. Don't sin, don't do this, don't sin. But this word, encumbrance or weight, it is the Greek word something. O-G something. Og, I don't know how to pronounce that word. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant what it says. But the definition of that Greek word is this. It is a mass or a... it's a bending from the weight that causes a bulge, basically. Kind of like a hernia. So it actually says that the root word would be the bend in the arm. The root word is like I don't know how to say that word either, Lord. Who? Ogla. It's O-G-L-A-H, I believe, or something like that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But just for a picture, the bend in your arm. But it happens from a weight that you're carrying that bends you over. So let us throw off the weight
and the sin that so easily entangles. Again, we focus on the sin. Sometimes the thing in one season that thrusted us forward into something that we knew was God suddenly becomes a burdensome weight that we're trying to carry around because it's the way God always does. And we carry around the old with us because we think somehow we're pleasing God because we have a wrong view of the nature of God because He's not pleased by our hard work and our difficulty and all of our struggle and all. He's pleased because He's pleased because He's pleased because He's pleased. You're a son, you're a daughter because He said you're a son or a daughter. His fathership of you doesn't change based on how much you do or don't do, based on your sin or not sin, based on being entangled or not entangled. It's the Bible is not written to try to keep you in check and all the right things. The Bible is written so that He could unveil Himself to you in a way that would cause you to come alive and awaken to the fact that He is who He is. You are who He called, and He wants you in full communion, union, relationship with Him that is not based upon your works. You can't do anything to make Him love you more, and you can't do anything to make Him love you. No. How does that work? Yeah, you can't do anything to make Him love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make Him love you less. There's the word I'm looking for. He loves you completely. That's good. You need to write that down. He loves me completely. We don't know what that is. I'll tell you what it is. I know I'm running out of time. The love that God wants you to understand and me to understand is this. I am so fully known by Him. He knows every corner of everything about me. He knows everything I think, everything I do. And yet He fully accepts me for who I am. That is the complete love of God. We are terrified for people to fully know us because we think they won't fully accept us. We're terrified that so much so that we keep people at bay in certain areas, or we take risk and we let people in and we find ourselves being rejected in certain ways. So we close ourselves out. It's another one of those things that we've allowed in about the nature of God that somehow He rejects when He sees things that we do that we know don't please Him. Do you know who rejects? I do. You do. We reject Him when we should be running to Him, right? You ever looked at the story in John 20 when Peter is being restored? And you see Peter, if it was me, I'm running away. Like, I just denied you. I flipped out and told everybody, I don't even know that man. You know, all this stuff, shame, guilt, condemnation, all over me. But there was something that Peter, he knew, like, Jesus is not going to kick me to the curb. Right? And when he heard, it is no one, oh, he didn't say it's none other than the Lord. He says, it is the Lord. And Peter, right, jumps in the water, swims over to Jesus, comes right to Him. Why? Because I'm fully known and I'm fully accepted. Did he have to go through a process? Yeah. But the process is not a picture of whether God loves you or not. Do you understand? We need to get rid of those thoughts that somehow when I go through difficult, hard, trying, nasty things, it is God's approval or disapproval of me. It doesn't exist, guys. That does not exist only in you. Okay. God. So much you need to hear from me.
Here's the, I'm going to say one more thing that I think is relevant. Jesus is asking people to come follow me. Luke chapter 9, it's somewhere around 59. Jesus is telling people, come follow me. He runs into this man who says, hey, Jesus, would you let me go? This is verse 60, I believe. Jesus, would you let me go bury my dad first? Now, if you read that scripture, it sounds like his dad is dead. His dad's actually not dead. If you read it out of the Passion Translation, it says this. Would you let, I might be paraphrasing a little bit, but basically it says, would you let me be a good son and go wait until my father dies so I can bury him? This is not speaking of someone who, that's why people sometimes are like, wow, that's kind of callous of Jesus to be like, let the dead bury the dead. He was saying, Jesus, let me go back, wait until my father passes away. And when he dies, I will bury him. Then I will come. So there was something that was keeping me. Like, I believed this thing that I can't do both. I can't honor and love my parents and serve you. So let me finish this cycle and then I'll come. Right? Some of us, there's people that we have attached to us. And when I say this, I don't mean like you need to get rid of them. You need to like look at what your relationships look like. And there are some people that in one season may have thrust you forward, and in this season to try and carry that is not what God's plan is. And I'm, again, God doesn't tell us to cut them off and get rid of them. It's just the understanding that our lives change, and sometimes what worked in one season and what helped in one season is not the same idea and same plan. It's not the manna that God has for you in the next. Your relationships, sometimes they look different. Do you know the Bible says we're supposed to love our enemies, right? This is going to sound really bad. But it's fun. Some of us need some enemies. Some of us are not doing enough things that are going against the flow that would cause us to have any enemies. Like, I get that we also should choose our enemies, meaning, like, well, hear what I'm saying when I say that. Yeah, no, you need to, like, there are mountains that people choose to die on that sometimes it's like, why? I'll give you an example. The COVID mountain. Why? I'm not saying people who died from COVID. I'm saying people who are like, I'm not going to wear a mask. Are you really going to die on that mountain? I'm not. I don't like it. I won't do it if I can avoid it. But I'm not going to fight to the death. Not for that. Right? Now, things that involve, you know, taking the generation or something that is I'm passionate about. Now, if you're passionate about wearing a mask or not, you can totally do that. And that's not a mountain I personally want to die. That's what I mean. Like, if I have somebody angry with me and they want to be my enemy, I want to make sure it's for a good reason. I know. I sound crazy. But I'm like, Lord, I know that you're calling us into a new time and a new thing. And it is transformational, like the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus went and he, it actually, the Greek word is metamorphosed. It's where we get the word metamorphosis. he transfigured or transformed from one thing to another, to a more glorified state. And I don't know. I actually looked up this morning what they have, like, x-rays that they've taken of cocoons and what happens in the metamorphosis process. Do you know that caterpillars liquefy before they be? I didn't know that. It's like a, yeah, it's gross, but their entire being, like their muscle structure, everything has to change, and the only way to do that is become liquid. It's not like they're like, whoa, wings, yay, you know? Not like that. It is literally an entire transformation of everything about them. That's what I think we're moving into. Not a new season, but a new me and a new year. That is so radically transformational that some people are not going to like it, and that's okay. But we need to know what we believe about the nature of God so that we can stand in strength, knowing that, yeah, this doesn't look like the manna, but I know I'm eating of the promise. And as long as I'm eating of the promise, I can let go of the manna. Yeah, I'm not being led by the cloud or the pillar, but I know his voice so clearly, I don't necessarily need a cloud or a pillar anymore. I can hear his voice tell me, this is it, this, turn this way, go there, do this, whatever. Do you see? So, here's what I'd like to do. I believe that Talon, you can't take people's purses. I figured if it was going to distract me, it needed to distract everybody else. All right. Thank you, Jesus, that we can laugh. See how metamorphosed you are already? I really, in all seriousness, I feel that the Lord is wanting to, number one, give us the strength to be able to stand in this process. As everything about me begins to shift and change, I'm sure it's not an easy or a pain-free process to be liquefied. But also, it is probably, well, it has to be, the most vulnerable state you can possibly be in. And in that place of being cocooned, and anything could happen, and there's nothing you could do to defend yourself. And so I believe the Lord wants to, number one, strengthen you. Number two, encourage you. Number three, teach us how to surround each other as we are being transformed and metamorphosed, you know? And so I want you to do this. Stand up. Not gonna do it. Okay. I like the yes. Thank you, Lord. Alright. I'm gonna pray what I'm hearing and feeling over you. And then I don't know what the Lord's getting ready to do, so I'm okay with that. So, Father, I release joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I release strength and joy over anyone who's within the sound of my voice, online, in here. I say joy, 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 joy. I pray that we would take joy in the fact that we are your kids, that we have been accepted from the foundations of the world. Nothing has changed except that I now know and understand. Thank you, Father, that you are creating in us a new us. There is a transformation, a metamorphosis, if you will, transformative, transfiguring thing that's taking place in us, not so that we can move to a new season or a new time, but so that we can step into promise and begin to eat from the promise that you have planned for us, again, from the foundation. I pray that you would strengthen us to be able to let go of the manna, that you would strengthen us to be able to see things and hear things clearly and not rely upon a cloud or a pillar, but moving into a new thing where we hear you clearly, we see you clearly, but it's all new. And we're not reliant on the old or this is the way we've always done it or this is what we've always thought. Or thank you, Lord, that you never changed, that your nature has always been. You're in a good mood. You love us. You're happy with us. Lord, I pray that that would be such a revelation in the inside of us, that it would begin to dictate to us how we treat other people, that we would see people through your eyes, that you wouldn't just give us what your thoughts are, but we've been given the mind of Christ. Therefore, we can think like you. We don't just need to ask you, what are your thoughts? We can think like you. So, Lord, establish in us fully the mind of Christ. Let that be established in you in the name of Jesus. Let the heart of God be established in you in the name of Jesus. Let yourself be overcome and enraptured in this place of being his son, who he tells all things to, that he reveals things to, that he whispers his secrets to your heart. Pray, Lord, that you would bring about this place of union with you that we've never had and never understood to this point, that we would see you clearly and correctly. I pray your blessing over the people in this room right now in Jesus' name. Let your spirit fall and abide. Let your spirit so fill us that, God, we begin to look more and more and more like you. We thank you, equip us, and send us where you want us to go. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, receive what he's doing. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, I just bless you. If you need a miracle today, maybe you're here and you don't know what to do, I want to pray for you. So otherwise, you're dismissed. And I would ask you, if you want to stay, go in the gym. There's going to be loads of food, lots of time. So bless you all. Have a good night.